You're listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for executives, brand managers, branch managers, marketing directors, and sales managers in distribution who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thanks for tuning in. My guest today is Scott Costa, publisher of TED Magazine, the trade publication for the National Association of Electrical Distributors, or NAED, and the leading news source for the electrical distribution industry. Prior to joining NAED and TED Magazine, Scott was at KMOV-TV in St. Louis as executive producer and assistant news director. I initially met Scott in my role as a judge for TED Magazine's Best of the Best marketing competition and as a writer for TED Magazine and TEDMag.com. Over the years, last 4 years or so, we've talked a lot about marketing, so I'm really excited to have him as a guest on Market Boldly today. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, thanks, Katrina. I appreciate you having me on today.
Sure. So let's jump right in. I know you're busy, so I have some questions for you, but we can talk about whatever you want today. But you and I, over the years, have talked a lot about marketing, so I want to get your input and thoughts on sort of what's going on in your industry and in marketing as a whole. On a larger macro level, what are some of the trends you're seeing in electrical distribution? For example, now that it's March, the election's over, and we're well into the new year, do you have any predictions for 2017 based on what you're hearing from members of the electrical distribution industry?
I am, you know, and I don't really want to, you know, lock things into, well, the election has radically changed every way that we're thinking and everything that we want to do in the world of marketing. I mean, I still think, you know, there's something to be said for bold marketing. I mean, there's certainly something to be said for, you know, being aggressive, being extremely creative, giving, you know, the opportunity to the marketing departments that you have to be, you know, bigger and badder and better and stronger than everybody else that's out there, not just the direct competition that you have, you know, the other companies that are making the same products as you or selling the same services as you. But all marketing in general, I mean, we've really become, I mean, if you really want to talk about the election, we've really become social media addicts, for lack of a better term. I think a lot of people are paying attention to a lot of different things. And so, you know, if you want to play the social media game and get in the game and be responsive and reactive to the things that are happening out there, you know, I think that that's, you know, there's a smart way to do it. And actually, we did at TED Magazine, somewhat of a, you know, kind of a poke at Hollywood and have some fun, you know, when the Academy Awards mistake.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, we throw out the, by the way, because we have our own awards at TED Magazine, we threw out the, just so you know, there's, we've never made a mistake in handing out our Best of the Best awards. You know, just as a, and it was at the time, obviously, we were still taking our submissions and our nominations for the awards. So it's like, so if you're worried about the security of the awards you want to win, you know, we're pretty secure. Don't forget you have till Friday to, you know, to enter.
Yeah, so I love that. What a great way to remind people to enter as well, you know.
And so I'm seeing, you know, that the election isn't really changing that, but I think it's really kind of, you know, upping people's games and sort of making folks be a little bit smarter, a little bit more creative, and kind of using the available space that's out there. And so I see that growing throughout the year, you know, in 2017 and again, seeing the creative juices kind of flow a little bit faster and harder.
Yeah. Well, and that's the beauty of social media is you can be responsive and quick. And, you know, I don't know if there are still some distributors and manufacturers out there who aren't using social media. I would find that hard to believe, but I'm sure it's the case. And, you know, I've been writing about it for years. You've been talking about it for years in the magazine. And, man, you know, I it's not going away. You know, it's just not going to go away. You've just got to get on board. It's not that hard. You just get in and get on and start playing with it, you know, and read. There's so much information online available.
And in social media too, you really have to, you know, have a stick-to-itive to it. You know, if you're thinking, well, we're not going to do it because I don't see a return on my investment. It's like, well, it's not really about that. You know, you're not really you're investing a little bit of time, certainly not a whole lot of money. And it's just about sticking to it and being on it all the time and gaining followers and gaining traction and making sure that you're, you know, they call it social media for a reason. It has to be social. I mean, you want to get responses to the things that you're doing. You want to engage in online conversation. And so, you know, you have to stay with it. If you're going to post one thing every, you know, 22 days, then you're really not doing a great job at it. And you just got to stay, with
stay
it
the course.
All the time. Yes, exactly. Don't stay quit the on course. It.
You know, one of the things I'm sure I've said in an article, I think I wrote a social media series for you. Oh, it's probably been 2 or 3 years ago now. And one of the things I know I said in some form was, well, you know, when we got fax machines, we didn't say, what's the ROI of my fax machine?
You know,
when we got the telephone, we didn't say, what's the ROI of my telephone? You know, it's just another tool that needs to be part of your marketing toolbox.
You're absolutely right. That's absolutely true. It's a part of the game, and you have to stay with it.
Yeah. So what do you see as some of the more, we've talked about social media, what do you see as some of the more specific challenges facing marketers in electrical distribution? What kind of things are you seeing?
I mean, I see a bunch of things going on right now. And one of them is, you know, again, as we have this post-election world hanging over us and what's going to happen next and a little bit of uncertainty, you know, on a lot of different fronts. And I understand that is there's always kind of the initial reaction when things are uncertain to pull back immediately.
Right.
You know, to wrap that lasso around whatever it is you're doing and say, you know what, I think we're just going to sit on this for until I feel comfortable again. And then it just gets forgotten about and you never feel comfortable again. And it just never happens. And so the idea of pulling back on marketing when things are uncertain to me is kind of backwards. You know, I mean, I think that you have to create you're creating what your strategy is going to be, you know, when times are more certain, when times are good, but the idea is you create those strategies for when times aren't as good, not pull them back when times aren't as good or when you're uncertain. And I think that that's a big challenge for marketing right now is that always seems to be the first to get, you know, kind of lassoed in. And I never want to see that for a wide variety of reasons. And one of them is, especially related to NAAD, because I work fairly closely with the marketing departments, is there's a lot of really smart people in there. You know, there's a lot of really creative people out there that can help you, you know, climb over what these challenges and what this uncertainty is. And you got to let them kind of do their thing. And you got to let them, you know, kind of build on the tools that they have. And certainly technology is a big thing. How can we reach people in different ways while we're uncertain? And, you know, while the other guys are pulling back, we're going to stay aggressive. We're going to do these things these ways. You know, we're going to ditch the old email marketing campaign and we're going to do something a little bit more aggressive where we're going to do podcasts or webcasts or whatever. And, you know, do things a little bit differently. That's a little bit more interactive using, you know, whatever it is you have. On the technology side. And I think that's a challenge that I think we're going to have, throughout this calendar year, as we try and build our way out of the election uncertainty, I suppose, that's still kind of a cloud over us.
Yeah. And while everybody's pulling back, what a great way to make yourself stand out by not pulling back and just forging ahead. What would you like to see moving forward? What would you like to see specifically from some of your members in NAAD and your readers in TED Magazine? What would you like to see them do differently or better in the coming year or two?
Right. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot there. One of the things I'm working on, some stuff related to culture within your organization for something that the association is doing at our national meeting, which is coming up in May. And I, you know, I'm doing all this ridiculous research. And when you're doing this research, you find some things that don't work out that great for you and some things that you're just like, boy, that's so spot on. And Google's got this, you know, amazing culture going on. So I'm like, I better check into them and see what they have that's going on. And this really applies to everybody. Just because Google is this massive, you know, worldwide organization doesn't mean that you can't adapt, you know, some of these things. One of these things that I noticed is, first of all, you know, 96% of, and this was a research thing that was a year ago, for all I know the numbers are even better than this, 96% of the employees at Google say, I'm proud to tell people that I work here.
Oh,
I mean, that's when you consider they have, what, tens of thousands of, I don't know, 100,000 employees, whatever they have. I mean, that's pretty important. And this relates to your entire office, but it really relates to marketing too. It's like, what are the things that the employees, you know, like the most? And you know, it's, again, have a innovative, paradigm shifting, culture and idea of how you're going to run your business. It's you know, have clear messages about what your role is in the marketing department, what you're, you know, having, making sure that they have the support, making sure that they have the tools that they need, you know, to get the job done right, giving people a sense of you're going to be around for a long time. I mean, when you think about what your marketing department is. You know, you think about all these things that Google provides for their employees as, yeah, you know what, my marketing department does need to have all the tools necessary to do great integrated marketing across a wide platform of, you know, of opportunities that are out there. And my marketing department does need to have the time and the effort and the energy, and they do need to be, you know, de-siloed from everybody else, and they need to be involved with the sales department, and they need to be involved with the research and the development folks in terms of what it is that we're making and how it is that it's going to be, you know, a success when it comes time to actually, you know, move product, when it comes time to actually do those things. And that's, I mean, that's always been one of my frustration points that, that we've talked about in the past is, you know, and I've written about it, you know, for the magazine too, is there are a lot of companies out there where, you know, there's an actual titled C-suite position that is, you know, CEO of sales and marketing. Mm-hmm. And it's usually a guy who comes from a sales background who knows not a whole lot about marketing. And so guess what falls off the, you know, falls off the radar first? It's, you know, he looks at his sales numbers every month and he knows what those mean. And that means revenue dollars. And he's so concerned about that. And then the marketing side is just a, you know, something that he puts on the expense side. It costs me money to market it. But you know what? You got to spend a little to make a lot. And I really believe that. And nobody's ever going to knock me off of that soapbox in terms of, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, millions on research and development, if you're going to spend millions on training a sales force and getting them in and having them know what the products are and getting the word out about what they are is equally important as all the rest of that stuff. And you've got to have a great marketing department that's going to be on board with doing those things. And they have to have the power to do that, to show the sales department, hey, I want to show you how we're selling this widget this year. You know, this is the, it's not that it just comes in green now. It's that it makes your life better, and this is how you do it, and this is how we have to sell it to our customers. And I think we really have to allow marketing departments in this coming year to really be, I mean, it's the name of the podcast, to really be more bold. I mean, they really have to be bigger and stronger and have a real impact in what it is that we're selling every day.
And, you know, a lot of what I see in this industry, and I've been in several marketing departments throughout my career, and it's so easy for them to become order takers and for us or the CEOs or whoever the executive team to not give them the freedom to really stretch the wings. I remember being in a small agency and I'd go to my president then with an idea and say, hey, how about if we do this? You know, it was something more strategic and higher level. He'd be like, oh, Katrina, that's not your job. You just need to like write and create things. Right. And it kind of broke my heart, you know. Broke my little 20-something-year-old heart because I had all these ideas, and some of them were good and some of them probably weren't or realistic or whatever. But that's one of the beautiful things that I liked about working with young people. And when I had my own agency, I hired young people because they weren't constrained. They weren't stifled. They, you know, they had no filters and no, well, we can't do that because in their head, you know. And as we get older and we work in more of these departments, it's like, oh yeah, if I say this, they'll say, well, we can't do that because, or we tried that before or whatever. So yeah, you know, creative people, you know, I grew up in the creative field as a writer and then a creative director or whatever. They need to be nurtured. They're like little, I mean, this is not meant in a bad way, but they're like little children, little toddlers who have all this imagination, and you don't want to stifle them, and you're not getting your best work out of them when you put too many restrictions on them.
Right. You're spot on. And I think, as again, you're talking about these CEO of sales and marketing, you know, the important thing that they need to do that, you know, if I'm in a marketing department and I'm having my review and the boss says, okay, what do I need to do differently? You know, here's what I can, if I was that person, here's what I would tell my boss. One, you have great ideas. Two, you don't really know what they look like at the end. And I'm as guilty of that. And that's why I'm surrounding myself with people who are way better than me at a whole lot of things. You know, when I'm redesigning the website, you know, for the magazine, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing here. But thank God my web editor, Nikki Heron, is great at it. And it just gets to the point where you're like, hey, Nikki, this is what I want to do, but I can't draw pictures and I can't, you know, show you have to do it, and you have to keep in touch with me and show me what it is. It's the same thing with marketing. If I'm a marketing person, I'm telling my boss, look, I know you have great ideas, whatever, but you got to let me go and use some of my creativity and bring it back to you. And I'll bring it back to you in pieces as I'm creating these integrated campaigns and show you what they are. And so you can give me the feedback, but you got to let, kind of like what you were saying, got to let my creativity take over what it is that we're doing here. And I think you're going to be really happy with how it turns out in the end.
And, you know, I think what's hard for some CEOs and how should I say this? You know, as the higher up in the organization there is there's a lot of ambiguity in that process. And a lot of people don't like ambiguity, but creative people thrive on ambiguity because that means there's a whole big wide open world of things they can do. And, you know, we can't come to you at the very end with our finished concept because we need to touch base through long lines, say, is this on track? Is this on track? And that ambiguity, I know my account executive at an agency I work for used to drive her crazy. She would try to sit in creative meetings. She'd go, you know what? I got to go. Rhonda, shout out to you. And she'd just be like, and Rhonda's a very creative person, but her job was sales and accounting executive. And it used to drive. She's like, so what am I going to go to the client with? I'm like, no, we're not even near that yet. And she's like, oh my goodness, I have to leave this meeting.
Right. No, it's you're absolutely right though. I mean, there's a science to running a business. I'm not trying to say that there's not.
There's research
and you're gonna strategize and you're gonna add up what your sales numbers are and you're gonna, you know, take off what your cost of goods sold are and you're gonna have that's science. I understand.
Right.
But there's an art to marketing. And you, it's not 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 every day in marketing.
No, sometimes it's 3 or 5 or 0.5.
Right. And you have to let that. But you know what? That it's the bold marketers that do that. You know,
yeah.
the bold marketers at Nike who say, hey, you know what? We're not going to make a 30-second commercial and we're going to put it in the Olympics. But you know what else we're going to do? We're going to make a 5-minute commercial and we're going to put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, nobody's ever done that before. Yep,
yeah, who would have thought? Yeah.
Mini movie. This is, you know,
yeah.
Those people
you said mini movie, right?
That's what it is.
I'm gonna lose that. It was like a mini movie, yep.
It's a mini movie. Some of the stuff you see that they do, and there's, you know, a number of other companies that do sort of, I don't know what you call it, the director's cut of the commercials that they make, whatever, and they're literally, their stories being told about tennis shoes.
I know.
You're like, okay, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's those that will market creatively and let the creative juices flow are those that stand above the rest in the product category. And so you really have to play that game a little bit.
And that's the value, another value of many of social media is you can do your 30-second spot and go, okay,
right.
By the way, to see the rest of the story, see the whole story, go here. And the marketers who are doing that well, I think, are really succeeding and standing out.
Right.
So as publisher of TED Magazine, obviously you read it cover to cover probably before it even goes out.
I hope so.
You see a lot of advertisement, and maybe not from distributors, from manufacturers, but I know, you know, when I come and judge the best of the best with my compadres every year, and this will be my 11th year, if you can believe it. Mm-hmm. Who do you see, and if you want to name names, you don't have to, but what kind of things are you seeing that are really good? Or if you want to mention specific industry members who are doing a good job, you can talk about that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's, you know what, it's a little bit like and I've told this to the folks around the office here, it's a little bit like the Cubs this year. You know, this is a team that didn't win for 100-something years, whatever it is. I'm from Chicago, I'm not a Cubs fan. What does that make me? But I know. Exactly.
A bad person?
I don't go home. Right?
No, I'm kidding.
Almost not allowed home most of the time yet. But, but for years they lost and they did, you know, they spent, but they didn't spend, you know, ridiculous amounts of money. And then now this past season, they spent tremendous sums of money on young people who were very talented and whatever. And so they won. And so there's people who are walking around like, oh, of course they won. They spent, you know, $200 million. But you know what? They were the best team on day one, and they were the best team after game 7 of the World Series, and they were the best team every day in between. And so what I see when I look at the magazine is, and I see this in a lot of, not just mine, I mean, I see it in a lot of publications, is, you know what? You can tell who's really dedicated to marketing, who's got a big marketing staff, who's got a real marketing strategy, who's got a real, you know, they've got a real creative group that's working together, that's integrated throughout the entire company, that's working with the sales team, that's working with, you know, working with the CEOs about what it is that the brand and what the message is going to be. I mean, you just see those companies standing out amongst the other ones who are like, hey, look, we have a product. Look, it's
okay. And you know, and I'm going to call them out because every year I'm so impressed with their entries is Van Meter. And I know Shad Thomas, one of the other judges, he's owner of Glassbox Research in Chicago. We were talking about Van Meter because he goes, and who was that company who they went and like talked to all their customers and did all this research and they came up with this. And I mean, research is a big part of it. And it's on my mind because I'm writing an article for you about research right now. But you can't just guess. You can't just go on hunches and intuition. You have to have real information. So I see the ones who do the research, who have an annual plan, which is not set in stone. It can change. You know, I'm working with some people on marketing planning for the year right now too. But, you know, you got to do the work behind the scenes, you know, and I think that image from the, I don't even know when it was, 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, where it's like, oh, I just sit around and I come up with a great idea. Well, yeah. That does happen, but it happens more efficiently and effectively when it's based on real information, right, and research.
Absolutely. And Van Meter is a great company top to bottom, but they really do have a great marketing department that is very engaged in everything. And keep in mind, you know, for those who are outside of electrical distribution, you know, Van Meter is a, I don't want to call them a simple company. They're a nice size company. They're based in Iowa. You know, they're not based in New York City. Mm-hmm. And they sell electrical products, which might not be as sexy as Nike tennis shoes to a lot of people, but they do a great job of it, and they do a great job of letting their customers understand what it is that they provide for them, and why they should, you know, why they should be working with Van Meter on all of their projects, and they just they have great brand message. They have a great brand from the get go.
Yeah.
Great brand message that they put into everything that they do. If you call Van Meter on the telephone, you're going to hear the same brand message as the ad you're going to see in,
wow, that's
in,
great,
in some, you know, publication out there, whatever it is they do. I mean, they do a great job across the board of what it is that they're, and so they, you know what, they win awards, and their marketing stands out from everybody else. But that's really an important, you know, thing that they do, and they're very committed to it. And you can see it, and you can feel it. You know what I mean?
That's something I want to point out. You talked earlier about being committed and consistent, and, you know, having, like I said, having done this will be my 11th year. As I see, as Summit's another one, they're just committed. Their brand message is consistent. You can tell they're investing money in, you know, people and research, and that's what it takes. It's really not, you know, as much as I would like to make it sound hard because I'm a marketing consultant, it's really not that hard. You know, it's doing your research, being consistent with, like you said, whether you're selling electrical parts or tennis shoes, you can shine in whatever industry or category you're in, but you have to be consistent. You have to invest the time and energy and money and research and people and all those things. And it's just, you know, it's just not rocket science. It's mm-hmm. just not. I mean, it takes some skill, it takes some training, takes some education, but that's so readily available these days. You know, like I said, you can find anything. Whenever I want to learn about a new topic, I can do most, if I can find most of what I need online. You know, sometimes I actually pick up a book or take a class or whatever, like on podcasting. I took a class on podcasting, but I also did a lot of research online. And then when I went to my workshop, I was like, oh, I already knew most of this because I found it for free online. And it's like, why did I pay, you know, $2,500 for this course? No, I'm just kidding.
But you know what? There's something to be said for it feels better. I mean, I can make French fries at my house, you know, just put them in the oven, do whatever. Or I can go to McDonald's, and I'm big on the McDonald's French fries kick now. Just, you know, it's like when they're sitting in the passenger seat of my car, and I can smell them, and I can see kind of the steam coming out.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that I got in the car and drove over there and bought those. Not all those little soldiers are going to make it all the way home, I can tell you that.
Oh, my, so, you know, I pick up food for my kids. It's like half of them are gone. I'm like, sorry, honey, you should have gone with me.
But think about that for, you know, all the bizarre, and this is, again, what I've been, I'm on this McDonald's thing right now, but all the negative connotation to what McDonald's is. That's out. If I tell people, hey, you know what I did last night? I went to McDonald's. They'd be like, oh, you know, it's not good for you.
Course it's not.
But you know what? They did whatever, $25 billion in sales last year, and they consider that to be a bad year. And so, you know what? They're doing something right over there.
Yeah, and you know, we all just keep going back. You can lie and say you never have, but you're a liar.
Right. They don't do $25 billion in sales because everybody only went there once and, you know, bought a $6 meal and never came back. You know,
right.
But there's, you know, there's something to be said for this is what our products are, and the way we market them says I'm willing to pay a little bit to get that because I feel more comfortable spending $2,500, you know, taking a class on podcasting than going online and trying to learn it myself.
Yeah. And that's what it was. Honestly, that's what it was for me. It's like, I needed somebody to tell me that what I was thinking and doing and planning was right. And I did pick up some good tips. I'm not saying it was worthless. It was, and it was a good workshop. But honestly, because I'd done so much research online, half of what I learned, or probably 75% of what I learned, I knew already, but it gave me the little push I needed. And then I was like, well, I've invested this much money, I guess I have to do it now. Okay. So now on the flip side, and we're definitely not going to mention names here. what kind of marketing advertising are you tired of seeing? What are you fed up with?
You know, the, and again, sort of that, you know, we have a product and we're going to change the world. Here's a picture of it.
Yeah.
You know, marketing doesn't really work. And on top of that, this is, I mean, this is a true story. This happened to me, I want to say 6 to 7 months ago, where somebody bought, finally decided, hey, I want to market on your website. I want to put an ad on the website. So they bought a small ad that was, you know, not incredibly expensive, but it was great. We tried to help them along and driven the weekend for them. It's fine. Hey, you know what? You'd be surprised, you know, what they can do for you. So they bought an ad for 30 days, 1 month on the website. And then the next month came around and our salesperson contacted them. And no kidding, the guy said, nah, I'm not going to do it. We didn't get a big uptick in sales.
because they advertised for 1 month.
it's that need for immediate results. And I finally, I saw the guy at a conference and I just said, look, you know, if you were expecting some kind of ridiculous, you know, uptick in sales after a 30-day ad, one, you'd have paid a whole lot more for it than what you did. And two, maybe more importantly, do you think I'd be doing what I'm doing if I can make that happen for everybody?
Right.
I'd be way more wealthy than I am right now. It doesn't, you know, again, what I'm frustrated with is sort of that we just throw a product out there and magic is going to happen instead of, again, this integrated strategy of, you know, this is what we're going to do this month and this is what we're going to do the next month and this is how we're going to, you know, we're going to build on what our, you know, what our product is and we're going to build on what our branding is and we're going to make people feel really great about buying light bulbs from us or buying copper wire for us or buying, you know, switches or whatever they are from us. Because it's really, I mean, that's, you know, we got to get away from, we just throw products out there and people come running to my door. It doesn't work like that anymore. We've become too sophisticated as a customer base. And you know, I wanted to buy, not making this up, I needed to buy some ties. You know where I went? Online to look at ties.
Really?
And so, yeah, I mean, that's what our customers are doing these days.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so it's, we can't just throw one picture out there and think, oh, well, that's, you know, magic is going to happen. I mean, yeah. I'm a sophisticated enough shopper and I'm, you know, I'm 51 that even when I'm shopping for ties, I'm looking at like, you know, 400 different ties for, you know, one gray suit. It's like, this is ridiculous that I'm doing that, but your customers are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You can't, it's not simple anymore. Marketing's
well, not. And it's that, you remember Field of Dreams? I'm going way back now, that if you build it, they will come. Yeah, right. That doesn't work. I mean, maybe if your product is so incredibly unique that we've never seen it before, but you know, what's difficult about your industry is, you know, a lot of them, they're selling the exact same products from the exact same companies. And so you have to then brand your own company and differentiate yourself and give them a reason to want to do business with you. And that is a challenge. I mean, that's hard. But there are some of them who are doing it really well. So in terms of, say, you know, the next year, 6 months, I really push marketing planning. And again, not something that's set in stone and not just a to-do checklist, but a process where you really evaluate, okay, who are my customers and what are their wants and needs? And let's set some major goals that are based on our strategic plan. And let's set some time-sensitive, measurable objectives. And then let's pick out some different strategies we use and tactics. And going through that whole process, I mean, do you think a lot of distributors do that? And I know the manufacturers probably do, at least I hope they do. But I mean, do you think they're doing that now?
I do. I mean, I think that they're, you know, I don't think there's anybody walking around sort of doing the month-to-month plan.
Okay.
And they're successful anymore, which is great. You know, again, I was talking with my staff the other day and you know, part of it was, hey, what's our strategic plan for, you know, 2026? This was something that I had launched a year ago for a 10-year project. So, you know, it's like, what's our strategic plan for 2026? But more important to that is, how do we maintain the marketing of it for the next 10 years too?
Wow.
So we're getting a little bit beyond, and I think, you know, our distributors have to do a lot of the same thing. We're getting a little bit beyond the, okay, we have a plan for, you know, the fourth quarter of 2017, which is great. Mm-hmm. But what's our longer term plan? Again, what's our branding plan? How are we going to be the company that you turn to, you know, when as technology evolves, because we're going to evolve with it and make your life simpler and faster and better when it comes to getting products, you know, into the hands of our customers. And so I'm seeing a little bit of that, but not a ton. I think a lot of the marketing folks that I talk to are starting to kind of head into that direction, and I'm encouraged by that, which I think is really important. But you know, those who are kind of doing the quarter to quarter marketing have got to break free from that and start to think a little bit more long term and certainly a lot more strategic. Because I think that's really important, and I think you have to. I mean, you have to get away from being reactive to last quarter's numbers.
Yeah.
You know, last quarter we did, you know, we were flat from whatever it was, the same quarter in a year ago. It's like, because you know what? You reinvented the world a year ago. And it's funny, I joke about another great company, Apple. You know, Apple comes out with the iPad 2 in the fourth quarter of 2015. And then, does a great sales. And then in the fourth quarter of 2016, you know, sales are down and flat. And it's like, oh, Apple's a lousy company now. It's like, no, they just didn't reinvent the world every year. It doesn't work, you know? And so it's the same thing. Just because you had a bad quarter doesn't mean, you know, let's throw everything out. It just means you should be planning for, you know, that quarter of the next year instead of, looking backwards. Right. You have to continue to be proactive and not react to what the numbers were. You can't change them. They're not going away.
It's like investing. If you took a short view on investing, you would drive yourself crazy. Well, marketing is an investment, so you have to take the long view. And like you said, where do we hope to be? When you sit down with your retirement planner, they don't say, okay, so where do you want to be next year? You know, they say, where do you want to be 10 or 20 years from now? You're like, oh, you know, if we all did that in our marketing, how much better off would we be?
Right.
You know,
absolutely right.
So we've talked a lot about, you know, the CEOs and the leaders in marketing. What advice do you have for the people in the trenches, the people that I sometimes get to work with and talk with? What do you have? What advice do you have for those people who are maybe the lower level employees working in a marketing department? And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean they're not the director of marketing or the manager or the VP of marketing. What advice do you have for them?
Make yourself the technology expert. Make yourself the person who's saying, hey, just so you know, Jeff Bezos over at Amazon is using this to market, and I think we need to start pushing in that direction, and it's not very expensive, and it's, you know, it's probably the best way of doing it. Or, you know, again, Apple is doing this for their marketing, and we really have to become, you know, if there's anything I want to do, I want to be the expert in technology in terms of best ways to market what our products are to our people, you know, better. I think that's really, I think technology is really an important thing. I firmly believe that there's a technology out there that's going to completely disrupt the way we do business as distributors of any product that hasn't even been invented yet. It's going to come, and it's going to come fast, and it's going to come hard, and it's going to be like a wave, and it's just going to hit us. And those who are not caught up with their technology today are certainly not going to be caught up with the technology that doesn't even exist yet. So if I'm a marketing department employee, I want to be the person that's ahead of the curve and is warning my bosses that these kinds of things are coming. I think there's, I think there's a younger sort of decision making. I think we're seeing I think we're seeing the shift to a younger decision making world out there in terms of folks who are buying. I think that there are purchasing procurement positions and purchasing positions now that are being held by people who aren't as old as they were.
You and I.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, the Gen Xers and the baby boomers are starting to disappear and fall out of the industry, and these younger, I talk with contractors all the time when I go to these meetings, and you know, average age is about 35. As opposed to, I would say, seriously, I'd say 4 years ago when I entered this industry, I'd say the average age was about 50. So those people are leaving. And younger folks are coming in, and you have to market to those people the way that they want to be marketed to, not the same old way.
Right.
Take a look around when you're looking at your customers and the procurement folks. Take a look at who you're talking to. You're probably talking to some really tech smart younger folks, and so you want to make sure that you're talking to them the way they want to be talked to, not the way you want to talk to them. and get it and get out of it. Yeah.
I would imagine those younger employees are a little frustrated that things aren't moving at the pace at which they'd like to see them move, you know? And I think, like you said, that's why that's important to listen to them and let them be involved in those decisions. And they need to be, you know, I taught college for 10 years and I was actually pretty, just until a couple of years ago, I was really impressed with how bold yet polite you know, some of these kids are, right. You know, and they're very savvy. They're very smart and not just tech savvy. They're a little more sophisticated in terms of their people skills than we probably were at that age, you know. And I think if they go into these, their managers, bosses, you know, CEOs with the right attitude and say, hey, this is, like you said, I think this is something we really need to keep our eyes on, but they have to be bold enough to do that. And I think a lot of them are, but for those who aren't, man, you just got to suck it up and do it, you know, do and say what you need to do and say to keep your company moving forward.
Absolutely. I mean, I definitely agree with that. I think that there's a, you know, you want to do this more polite than I would do it. But the answer is, I'm far too bold at some things. But, you know, when somebody comes into my office and it's like, hey, I need so-and-so thing. And the answer is, okay, well, hey, why do we do that again? And when the answer comes back to me, yes, well, that's the way we've always done it. My response is always, yeah, the guy who made that policy doesn't work anymore because he sucked at his job and we fired him. So now we're going to do it a different way, you know. Right. And so let's get rid of these legacy programs that some guy invented that might have been great in 2005. And let's listen to what some of these younger folks, you know, have to say. And let's listen to, you know, what some of these, you know, technology. You don't have to be young to be smart in terms of technology. You know, or in terms of, you know, bold ways to market. And so, you know what, let's stop for a minute and listen to what people have to say and take it into consideration, serious consideration, and see if it really is a paradigm shifter. See if it really is a game changer that's going to set you apart from what you had been doing. It's going to make you better. And so if I'm a young person, you know, again, I went through some of those culture things that Google has. I got to feel like I got a sense of future here and that I'm going to be able to bring up some of these things and somebody's going to listen and say, hey, you know what? That is a good idea. Yeah. Or, hey, we think that's a good idea, but not this year's good idea. It might be, you know, a good idea for fiscal year 2018 and go from there.
Yeah, that's where the young people need to have a little patience, but also the older of us who are, you know, the department leaders, we have to be open and receptive to that. I think that's what you're saying is, you know, you can't just blow them off because they're under 30 or whatever. Right. You know, you have to, they have valuable information and ideas to share. And I remember being in that position where I said, well, how can we do this? Like, we'll just do it. You know, how can we do it this way? We'll just go do it. And that's very frustrating. And they have information to share and they have knowledge to share. And we have to be receptive to that.
And you have to be prepared to change, you know, and I think that's a key thing. And we, you know, again, we see it and I see it in sports a lot. Again, we talk about the Cubs thing, you know, when a few years ago, the Royals won the World Series and they did it because they had a whole bunch of fast guys. They were really athletic and you put a guy on first base and he was going to make it to third base in no time flat. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, you know what we need? A lot of fast guys. Well, you know what? The Royals got all the fast guys already. So you blew it. You waited too long. And so don't be the company that waits too long.
Yeah,
because then everybody else is doing it and you just look like you're part of the mess in marketing. And you have to be innovative when it comes to what your marketing is. And you have to be willing to, you know, to do those things to set yourself apart and not just be the noise in the crowd.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts for our listeners or marketers in any industry, whether it's electrical distribution or plumbing or whatever?
I'll say this, you know, if you think we're not consuming it, I'll tell you that we're consuming it. Greatly, you know, I pay great attention to marketing, not just because I have to as a job. I mean, I do it when I'm on vacation on the beach. I do it when I'm, you know, in the airport waiting for a flight. I want to see, you know, who's at which, you know, restaurant or bar and why, and what it is that's on the TV or what it is that they have to offer. And so, if you're thinking marketing is just kind of an added, you know, company thing that they do in addition to, you know, human resources and sales, and it's not.
Right.
And we've become very savvy marketing receptors. And so the time to up your game has come, I think, more than ever. And I certainly hope that, you know, those that are interested in marketing, who are really want to make an impact are really going to be as bold as they could possibly be, because, you know, I don't want to say one bad move is a you know, a death trap. It's not. But know that we're consuming this stuff, and we're consuming this stuff all the time, and it's important.
Yeah. And I'd rather make a couple bold moves that fail if I'm making, if I even make two or three that succeed, you know, because I'm still going to come out ahead, you know.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My guest today has been Scott Costa, my friend and associate from TED Magazine, publisher of TED Magazine. Thanks for taking time out of your day. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And I look forward to seeing you in April when I come to St. Louis to judge TED Magazine's Best of the Best marketing competition. I hope you have a great day, and thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to Market Boldly, a podcast for members of the distribution channel who want to build their brand, stimulate sales, and drive profits. I'm your host, Katrina Olson. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join us again. Find this and future episodes, including show notes, at marketboldly.com and on my website at katrinaolson.com.